Proverbs chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. It says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto the wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the word of the wise and their dark saying. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for each one that's here. We thank you for those that are listening. We pray for the needs of this hour. Lord, you know the hearts of every person. You know each situation, each individual's need, and we can't even begin to know what's going on in people's lives. But Lord, we also know, no matter what's going on in our life, that Christ will help. And he's the one that we look to. So Father, we pray if there's someone that doesn't know Christ, that you'll speak to that heart. And Father, we pray that we'll all have a desire to grow closer to you. We thank you for all that you do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The title of this message tonight is More About Jesus. The Bible says a wise man will hear and increase learning. You know, we are living in the age of technology. We are living in an age to where if you want to know something, you can get it very quickly. You can find the answers very quickly. We do it all the time. I remember back years ago when you would maybe watch a rerun or something of a show that you're watching on TV, and you're like, well, who is that person? You can't remember the actor's name. You can't remember maybe, you know, just an old, you know, for me, I enjoy watching the old black and white still, some of those shows. But you might not know the person. Do you realize that you can just pick up your phone or your tablet or some kind of technology device, and you can put in that episode, and it'll tell you the actors, it'll tell you all about it, it'll give you a brief summary of what happened. It's just amazing the technology that it almost causes us to not think anymore. It almost causes us not to think, especially, you know, if you're trying to find direction somewhere. You know, people used to have a real good sense of direction, and you really do this and do that. But let me ask you a question. How many of you ever look at a map? A map. See, you got one back there that still looks at a map. One time, several years ago, when I was filling in for John and Stephanie with the youth, I actually brought a map. And I said, I want you to show me how to get from our church, from where we are, I want you to find it on a map, and I want to go to Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I need you to tell me what roads that you take. And everyone grabbed their phone. And I said, no, you got to put your phone down. And so I was teaching them how to read a map. And then I gave them another destination. But the point is, we're so, and I am too, okay? So it's not a slam on technology. I'm grateful for technology. But the point is, there's so much technology, and we have so much in our hands, that I wonder if we're really learning the things that we are seeing. If we're really learning the things that we're seeing, because we can find information and we can find knowledge in seconds, but is it wisdom? Is the knowledge that we're finding, is it actually wisdom? So I'll begin the service a little different tonight. And I've asked the young people to come over tonight, and I want to ask a question, and you don't have to raise your hands, but I'm going to put the adults in a spot tonight, and I want to say, how much do you know about these young people? How much do you know about them? You see them in Christmas programs, you see them at church on Sunday, but how much do you actually know about them? How much knowledge do you have? How much wisdom do you have about that person? And we could do the same for them. How much do they know about you? Well, our message tonight is more about Jesus. But let me tell you something. Abby, raise your hand. Do y'all see Abby? Did you know she was crowned homecoming princess for the second time? Addison. They can't see your hand. Addison loves all living things and will pick any little creature up she finds, frogs, rabbits, and even went after a mouse during the last rummage sale last year. Angie. Oh, that's good. Did you know, and this blows your mind, but did you know that she enjoys rock climbing? She puts the little harness up and climbs right up. Anthony, he's all the way back there. He wanted to sit with his grandma. Anthony is an expert video gamer. Audrey, and I don't know if you know this or not, but when we had our Christmas program, minutes and moments and hours before the Christmas program, we were in a tizzy. There were several that had gotten sick, and we needed a Mary. And we needed a child that was here. And so Audrey had to change her role. And she, in just a few minutes, literally, she was willing to switch the roles, and she played Mary at the last minute. And it turned out great. Catherine, they're getting into this raising their hands, aren't they? Catherine is about to graduate UNCG and will soon begin pursuing another degree. Jeffrey is a man full of kindness. He has a lot of kindness in his heart. And we're grateful for that. Lily, she's not here, but Lily is the first sixth grader to make the varsity winter guard team at Northwest. And they were full of competition all winter and traveling. And I don't know if you know what winter guard is, but those are the ones that twirl the flags and twirl the rifles. They're not real rifles, but they're rifles. Sixth grade and made the varsity. Mackenzie. Beware of this one. This weekend, she will start the driving portion of driver's ed. Marshall. Our Marshall. We'll talk about the other Marshall in just a minute. Marshall is always willing to help in any way he can and is a very large part of our youth program, Vacation Bible School, and a lot of our decorating and anything else that we need. Marshall Moore studies the sky with a big telescope and has become quite an astronomer. How big is your telescope? Did you raise your hand, by the way?
No.
Okay. All right. Perrin. Perrin is already taking private trumpet lessons in the fifth grade and is already preparing for the marching band. And I believe it is the, isn't it the actual teacher that's doing it? Watson. I didn't see your hand. Okay. Watson, last week, and this will blow you away, he was recognized for Student of the Month for his integrity. And that is just a small portion of our youth. Did I leave anybody out? There's a lot more that could be learned about them. And also, they could learn a lot about you. The point is, knowing each other. And as we know each other, our desire should be learning more about Christ. Because we do it as a group. We have our separate times. We have our Sunday schools. We have our youth programs. And we have our preaching services. And we have all these different things. But the ultimate goal is to learn more about Jesus. It's to learn more about Jesus. And there's one main thing. And there's one common important thing. And there's one thing that matters, whether it's youth or whether it's adults. But we all need to hear and we all need to learn more about Jesus Christ. You know, I don't want to learn about Jesus by asking my phone, who is Jesus, and getting some Wikipedia information. It's more, knowing Jesus is more than a head knowledge, but it should be a heart knowledge. Amen. It should be a heart knowledge. And it's where we grow. The Bible talks about growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we get knowledge, then it becomes wisdom. As we get knowledge about Him, when it goes into the heart, then it becomes wisdom. So as we teach the young people on Wednesday nights and in Sunday schools, and as we have our sanctuary service on Wednesday night, we all have the common goal of learning more about Jesus. We all have the common goal as growing as individuals. And growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter what age we are. It doesn't matter what generation we are. But the desire should be the same. And our church should go forward in the knowledge and the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a heart knowledge. You see, the thing is, it doesn't matter what age we are. We all have struggles. We all have struggles, and it's amazing if you learn about these young people, it's amazing some of the struggles that they really do have. And likely so, it's amazing some of the struggles we as adults have, but we have the same answer, which is Jesus Christ. You see, we all have struggles, we all have life issues, no matter what the age, we all have pain. No matter what the age, but we all need Jesus in our life and we all grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has been good to all ages. God has been good to all of us and He has allowed us to live. Do you realize that life, as hard as it may be, do you realize that life is a privilege and life is a gift? But unfortunately, the world don't see it that way. The world doesn't see his life as a gift. But life is a gift. When God breathed into Adam, he took on life. And that was a gift. When God caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam, and he took a rib and made Eve, it was a gift. And as generations continue, life is a gift. And we all have the opportunity to grow in the Lord. We all have the opportunity to grow in the Lord. So the first question I have tonight, the first point I have tonight is, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? And I'm not talking about a head knowledge, because you know, it's amazing when you talk to individuals, they know Jesus by name. They know about Jesus, but there's many that don't know Jesus, that don't have that heart knowledge. Has there been a time in your life that you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior? Is there been a moment in time that you've said, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me of my sins. I've done wrong. I want to repent. I want you to come in my life and save me. Has there been that time? If you say, I think there has, that's not knowing. And I don't want to face eternity by thinking. I want to face eternity by knowing. You see, there's a difference. There's a difference in knowledge and in wisdom. And we want to face eternity in knowing Christ as our personal Savior, because we don't know what our future is going to hold. I remember, and I don't know if Darla remembers this. She probably does, because I think we've talked about it before. But when we became high school students at Northwest, when we became high school students, we went into the auditorium and the principal, welcomed us. And then he started talking to us. And I don't know if he was trying to scare us to death. But I remember it just like it was yesterday. And I remember the area that I was sitting in. And hey, I was grown up. I was going into high school. You know, I thought, hey, I've arrived, right? And then he said these words: there will be some people in this room that will not make it until their senior year. And there was a total silence. Would you believe that he was right? We had a teenage girl that was riding on the back of a motorcycle. And it was like a dirt bike, and she was riding on the back of a motorcycle. And Privet, I think, was her last name. And she got killed. And she was in about the 10th or 11th grade. There was another boy that had gotten his license. I'm not trying to scare you, Mackenzie. But there was another boy that had gotten his license, and he was going too fast around a curve and hit a tree and paralyzed him. And later, after we graduated, he passed away. But point is, we need more than a head knowledge of Christ. We need a heart knowledge of Christ. We need that heart knowledge. The Bible says in Romans 10, verses 9 and following, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe on thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jews and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm so thankful for the whosoever. I'm thankful that it's not age discrimination. I'm thankful that it doesn't matter whether it's young or whether it's old. If God gets a hold of your heart and you realize that you're not, if you died tonight, that you would not, that you don't know where you're going to be, and that you don't know, and that you don't have that understanding that I'm going to heaven, then you can call upon him. You know, it's sad because there are funerals out there, and you've been to them and I've been to them. But there's funerals out there that when you know, there can be crowds and crowds and crowds of people going to someone's funeral that has died unexpectedly, or that has that maybe a tragedy or maybe a sickness or something like that, and they've gone, and there'll be crowds and crowds of people, and they'll be weeping and crying and missing. But you know, the only thing that really matters isn't the amount of people that come, but it's the understanding that that person who took their last breath, whatever reason, that that person knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That is the only thing that matters. Because you can have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people come and view, and you can talk to the family, and you can give your condolences, and you can say you're praying for them. But the only thing that matters is knowing that that person has accepted Christ as our personal Savior. Not that they know or knew Him with a head knowledge, but knew Him with a heart knowledge. That's what matters. So do you know Christ? The second thing is, do I have a willingness to learn about Jesus? To learn about Him. In other words, that growing part. Not only knowing Christ, but that growing part. You see, I would like for all of us to think about something that we like to do. Think of something you like to do, whether it be a hobby that you like to do, whether it's a place that you would like to go, whether you're going on vacation, whether you play a sport, whether you play an instrument, whether you like to write, whether you, I could go on and on and on. But I want you to think of something that you really, really like to go do, and it's really, really important. What do you have to do? You have to practice. And you have to prepare. I'll give you an example. If you've got a hobby that you like, and you really like that hobby, then you're going to learn as much about that hobby that you can learn, and you're going to practice doing it. My dad, after he had back surgery, he was laid up in a bed, and back then they did that. Now they get you up, but back then he was having to stay in the bed, and he decided he wanted to take up painting. And then he would find anything. It was amazing, as I was growing up, anything that had a clear background, he painted on it. He painted on saws. He painted on boards. He painted on paneling. He painted. If he could put it in his lap, he was painting it. And we've got those. And he actually got pretty good. I've got some paintings in my house that he painted that I wouldn't take anything for. But he didn't begin that way. He had to start in the beginning, and he had to learn. What about sports? If you're going to be competitive in sports, you have to practice. You have to practice. When I played baseball, and I've told you this story, but when I played baseball, when I went into the larger league, the bigger league, it was the Pony League at that time. You know, my first game, I was out in the outfield, and we were winning. Two outs, bases loaded, and I dropped the ball. When they hit it to me. Life-changing event. I wanted to crawl somewhere and hide. But I didn't stop. I kept learning. I kept practicing. And the coach didn't say, we don't want you anymore. The coach said, hey, let's practice. Let's learn. Let's do those things. What if you go on vacation? How many people get tired before you go on vacation? Because you have to pack. And you have to pack, and you have to pack. Then you go on vacation, and you're too tired to have vacation. And then when you come back, guess what you have to do? You have to unpack and wash clothes, and you do those things. But you want to go because you enjoy it. But you have to prepare. What about family gatherings? There, when you have family gatherings, there are individuals that very seldom ever sit down. But you wouldn't take it for anything. I guess what I'm trying to say is, we must have a willingness to learn about Jesus Christ. A willingness to learn about Jesus. And there's not, things just doesn't happen. You can't just open up the Bible and say, oh, I know everything about Jesus. We learn. And we learn from church. We learn from youth programs. We learn from reading. We learn from devotionals. We learn things. But the objective is that we learn more about Jesus Christ. That should be our objective. That should be our desire, is to learn more about Him. I'd like to suggest just a couple of things tonight. First, learning more about Him. How do we do that? We spend time with Him. What are some things that we can learn about Jesus Christ? What are some things that we can learn as we learn about Christ? What are some things that we can learn? Let me give you some example. How did He love people? And can we learn from that? How did He care for people? And can we learn from that? How was He interested in people? He didn't shun people, even though they were different. Did He make a way for people? Absolutely. He gave Himself. Did He correct people? Yes. He corrected. Did He know people? Yes, He knew people. And the verse that we can all quote is John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But notice what verse 17 says, and that's important to go with 16, because the Bible says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." And tell me how He loved people. Learning more about Him so we can help others. Let me tell you something. There's not a lot of examples out there in the world. There's not a lot of examples. But we can be an example. What about more praise? More praise. I don't think that we can give our Lord enough praise. I don't think we could give Him enough praise. The Bible says in Psalm 71:14, "But I will hope continually, will I yet praise Thee more and more." Praising Him more and more. Can we ever run out, or can we ever run out of praise? Do you think we could ever run out of praise? I just jotted down a couple of things that if we ever run out of praise, we can praise Him for this. Praise Him for life. Praise Him for salvation. Praise Him for blessings. Praise Him for prayer. And not only prayer, for answered prayer. Praise Him for grace. And I could spend a long time talking about grace. Praise Him for mercy. Praise Him for family, for friends, for our church. The challenge is praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, and praise Him even more because He's worthy. What about more fruit? More fruit, bearing more fruit. Do you realize for us to bear fruit, we must abide in Him? We must abide in Him. Every branch in me, John 15, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. But every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit." You see, bearing more fruit. Fruit begins with life. And where does He get the life? The fruit gets the life from the vine. Who is the vine? Christ. Christ. "Abide in me and I in you," the Bible says. And then lastly tonight, more love for Him. More love for Him. There's going to be times, and you know this, there's going to be times. You know, when my father passed away suddenly, it was hard when people would come to me and say, "It'll be okay." They would say, you know, and they would quote me a Bible verse or something like that, and they meant well. But I was hurting. And I'm grateful that the Lord knew that I was hurting. But you know, it wasn't until I realized in my heart that God makes no mistakes. It doesn't mean I understand, because I was 19 years old. It doesn't mean I understand. But I know now that God makes no mistakes. And I am convinced of this. When I realize that God makes no mistakes, I'm convinced that when I realize that, God started working in my life, and I wouldn't be standing here tonight if it wasn't for me trusting Jesus. Trusting Jesus. The Bible says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The Bible says in 1 John 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Why wouldn't we want to love Him more? Because of what He's done. We love Him because He first loved us. So I end this tonight, this message tonight, and I ask the question, is He center of your life? Is He the center of your life? Doesn't mean we're not going to have struggles. Doesn't mean we're not going to have problems. Doesn't mean we're not going to have hurts. Doesn't mean we're not going to have pains. Doesn't mean we're not going to have trials. Doesn't mean we're not going to have good times and praising times and rejoicing times. We still have to do life. But I will tell you, there's no one that loves you more than Jesus Christ. There's no one that loves you any more than Jesus.
Amen.
Do we know Him? Do we trust Him? Do we want to learn more about Him? We learned a little bit about our young people tonight. There's a lot more we can learn. How do we do that? We get to know them. We get to know them. How do they learn more about you? They get to know you. You know, there's nothing wrong with talking to our young people. They won't bite. At least not yet. There's also nothing wrong with talking to our adults too. You see, we're one body. We're one body. But we center around Jesus Christ. That's what we do. We center our lives around Jesus Christ. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank You for our time together. We thank You for all those that are here. We thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that You'll help us to go forward together, no matter what age we are, that we go forward together loving You just a little bit more every day. We thank You for salvation and what it means. And Lord, we pray if there's someone here tonight that don't have a heart knowledge of Jesus, they have a head knowledge. And it begins with a head knowledge, but it must go to the heart. If there's someone that doesn't know Christ, Lord, speak to that heart. And Lord, if there's someone here that's struggling, that just has been having a hard time with their life and just having a difficult time, Lord, will they feel Your presence, and may they look to You as we grow as a body in Christ. And Lord, I pray that You'll help us, and thank You for all that You do, for it's in Christ's name. Amen.